We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
1 second.
Hey there, welcome to the Eurostat Podcast Network post game two of the NBA Finals. Bucks lost again. I'm Ty Windisch, the Eurostat Podcast, joined by Adam McGee of the Win in Six Podcast, Rohan Kadi of the Eurostat Podcast. Bucks lost 118-108 to the Phoenix Suns. Last time we weren't disheartened, we were frustrated. This time I think we're mad. We're going to get into it, of course. We showed up for this. Not all the Bucks showed up to the game tonight, unfortunately. Rohan, Adam, how's it going?
Being better.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
It's energy.
Hey, at least something Bucks related as chemistry.
Yeah, look, when you do pregame and postgame podcasts now, this is what happens. Let's do that from the start before we get into all the important stuff. Pregame on YouTube again today. If you haven't already, go subscribe. Eurostep Podcast on YouTube and you'll get our live videos.
And you can watch the recordings too if you haven't seen them. I mean, I don't think they get that outdated. So I know a lot of people say, I wish there was more video. Check out the YouTube, subscribe, get your friends to subscribe. If you want more video, support the
video.
Go videos,
on other
folks.
People's devices, take their phones, and then go subscribe on them.
How many Google accounts do you have? You can subscribe from all of them. Goose the numbers a little bit.
You know you have fake emails, everyone.
Everyone does. Free trials. We've all been there. Okay. We have a lot to complain about, rant, whatever. I want to start with Giannis. We never do this. Yep. I don't care that it was a loss, all for naught. For me, this is a legacy game tonight from Giannis Antetokounmpo. 42 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks, 15 for 22 from the field, 11 for 18 from free throw, 1 for 5 from 3. Usually would be more upset about that, but A, he was tremendous at everything else. B, he's playing on one leg, coming back off what looked like a catastrophic injury. If he wants to take a couple possessions off by shooting the three, not going to be that upset. But Giannis was terrific all night, set, I believe, an NBA Finals record for quarter scoring in the third quarter.
He scored the most in a quarter since Michael Jordan in 1993.
Oh, 25 years. 25 years. Gotcha.
Yeah, Jordan had 22 in the 93 finals in a quarter. So most since Jordan.
Did Giannis have 20 in the third?
That's right.
Incredible performance from Giannis. And really just, it was the way he was scoring in different ways. I mean, I thought there were times when he was gassed, he was drawing fouls on purpose and making some free throws. The fadeaway looked good. He was getting to the rim, of course. Like, this just felt to me, and it didn't feel to me, it was a guy leaving it all on the line, doing every possible thing. We could not have hoped for a performance this good this time last week. I mean, it was just incredible.
It was, we talked a little bit about this before we started recording, but that was the best game of Giannis's career, given the context, given his production. It's just, it's incredible. Like you mentioned, Ty, coming off what we thought was a catastrophic knee injury, and he's coming back a week later, dropping.
It's amazing that you had to do that.
NBA Finals.
Just, it's worth reflecting for a minute that you start yourself saying a catastrophic injury, because it was, like, for any other mortal.
It should have been
catastrophic. It felt catastrophic. How about that? The vibes were catastrophic.
Yes, exactly. And we had reason to believe that. And no, a week later, a little over a week later, I should say, he's dropping 42 in the NBA Finals and just leaving it all out there, making setting records for points in a quarter not seen since Michael Jordan. The only people he's, you know, beating are Kobe Bryant and LeBron James. This is Giannis in the NBA Finals. This is an all-time great player playing in the NBA Finals on the biggest stage in the biggest moment. Like you said, Ty, leaving it all out there on the court. He's doing everything he possibly could to get his team into this game. And we started with this because we need to. We have to remember this moment. We talked a lot before we started this series. This is probably one of the greatest moments we're ever going to see in our lifetimes, is the Bucks in this final stage. And Giannis is showing up. He's showing up. He's putting up legendary performances on one leg. It's just, it's astounding to see. It's awe-inspiring. It's just greatness. He's an all-time great, and we're seeing why. And they lost the game.
They lost the game. And I don't know if either of you felt this way. I'm getting the feeling maybe not. But I actually found myself able to enjoy the experience of what Giannis was doing in spite of the other stuff that was making me mad. Because, like, particularly to start the third quarter, when I think he had 13 straight points for the Bucks, and he's just really kind of ratcheting up the level, and you're seeing, okay, the Suns just have no answers, and it's attack, it's attack, it's attack. I think my favorite Giannis play of all time might have been when he saw Mikal Bridges, and he just kept, like, gesturing to Drew, give me the ball, give me the ball, and he went and he just, like, chewed him up. That's like, this was a Shaq-like performance, and that was the definition of fried chicken, you know? And that hasn't been Giannis over the years. It hasn't been Giannis. And we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, there's so much that's just there and easy for him that he doesn't necessarily take advantage, that the Bucks don't necessarily always put him in position to take advantage of. I think generally they did a good job of setting him up to go to work tonight, and he did absolutely everything he could to fully capitalize on that. A true, true performance for the ages. And there's a lot of negative stuff we're going to get into here, but this is also on top of just, you know, we need to remember this for how special it was for Giannis. This is, the series is going back to Milwaukee. You need to win two home games. If you want to have any hope of doing that, you look at what Giannis did in this game and you say, with that guy, anything is possible. You'll have a chance anytime you step on the floor. You just need someone to help him.
So
they have the best player in the series.
Yeah,
they do. That's clear.
Hands down. Hands down.
In game
and he's
one,
on one leg, and he's still the best player in the series.
Exactly.
The two other great players.
Yes, Pat Connaughton and Brooke Lopez.
I think Adam meant on the other team, but
oh, that's true.
I did mean that, but I like where Rohan's going with that.
The other qualifier on Giannis's game that I left out, because I didn't want to spoil it too early, on one leg with no help. And that was the story of the game. I enjoyed Giannis's performance for most of the third, but then late in the third, when I realized and tweeted it, that he had more points in the quarter than Drew and Chris had combined in the game to that point, is when I started to get just mad, pissed off. And then in the fourth quarter, it just got worse because, I mean, that some more points from those guys trickled in, not nearly enough, just... I still don't know how Giannis got 42 with no other threats on the Bucks to be accounted for the entire game. The Suns literally just were like getting picked apart by this guy, and they couldn't do anything. It was terrific. It was an all-time performance from Giannis. Any modicum of solid play from Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton, the Bucks win this game. This was such a winnable game, even more so than game one, I think, where you can argue about maybe this tweak swings it, maybe that tweak swings it. This game was there for the taking, and the Bucks had Pat Connaughton taking all the clutch shots because he was the only one who anyone thought could hit a shot. I mean, Drew starting off, and at least he was aggressive, 7 for 21 from the field, 17 points, 7 assists. It looks better than it was I think there was some late padding there.
Giannis took one more shot than Jrue Holiday and outscored him by 25 points.
It's just, you have to make layups. Like, I don't even know what to say. Make layups, please. How? Just put it in. Like, it's infuriating. Like, I don't know. There's no analysis. Like, make the shots. I didn't think his shot selection was that bad in this game. He just didn't make any. Like, I don't know where you go from here. I don't know what film you show. Do you maybe show him making the shots and just go, maybe try this? I don't know. I felt like I was just upset watching it. I was just like, I can't believe he has to deal with this. And at this stage, at both of these guys doing this at once again this postseason, it just, I'm upset. I'm very upset. I'm upset. Yeah. Because of the way Giannis played.
Exactly. Because he wasted such a great game. It was a letdown. They were letting him down in real time. And you could see Giannis. Like, there was that
blank expression.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was just, like, looking around, like, what's going on here? Like, what is happening? Because I'm putting up an all-time performance. And these guys are like, yeah, I'm good. I'll just, you know, I'm just gonna chuck threes in transition when I don't have any rhythm whatsoever. Maybe that'll get me in rhythm. Like,
I do think I'm more upset about Chris than Drew.
Exactly. That's what I was alluding to.
I know Chris that. I know you were alluding to Chris.
I think it's on both of them, right?
And it is, for sure.
I agree with that. Chris didn't take the shots. Drew missing shots is not good, but if you don't take the shots, you can't make them in the first place. And that's where Chris put them. What bothered me isn't that both guys had a bad game, because that really wasn't even the problem. It's that in just a couple of moments where it's like, can you just give Giannis a minute? Can you just give Giannis a minute without the wheels falling off here? Can you just keep scoring to keep the momentum? End of the third quarter was the one that really bothered me, where Giannis hurt himself again. He had to go to the bench for 1 minute. You're just like, just score. There's real momentum here. The guy, one, needs and deserves just like a minute of a break. But two, he needs to stretch out. At that point, it looked like it was his calf, even more than his knee at that point. That was what he was stretching out over the baseline just before the fourth started. And you're just like, can you just please, please score? Get a stop. But if you don't get a stop, score. Don't give up ground here. And they didn't. Jrue Holiday went with a terrible left-handed layup. The offense wasn't good to begin with. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know what you do there. Jrue is inconsistent. We talked about this earlier. He's inconsistent. This is what you're going to get. He could come back in game three. He could come back in game four. But you can't expect Giannis to have this game again. So this is a major opportunity gone. And I think beyond that, just generally, if you look at the Bucks' performance, I thought they played pretty well defensively. I know that seems absurd given, you know, the Suns shot 20 of 40 from deep. And there was certainly some bad decisions in there that left guys open in the corners. But I think the Bucks were much better defensively. And in spite of that barrage of threes the Suns made, they were there in the game. That was because of Giannis, but you just need a little bit more. You said, Ty, you're not sure what film they should watch. You're put it in, though, gave me an idea. They should watch Happy Gilmore. Because it's just tap it in. That's literally the book's problem right now. One, because they keep trying to just tap it in, as opposed to grabbing the ball. PJ had this a couple of times. Brooke is the only person I'll forgive with this, because Brooke is, you know, deceptively long. So he is there. He is tall enough to just tap this in. But when PJ Tucker is going up and trying it, it's like, no, just grab the ball and pass out. It's pretty simple. But then on a night like this, if you're to pass out to Chris, or you're to pass out to Drew, what are you going to get? I mean, I tweeted at halftime. It's like, if this is just what Chris and Drew are giving you, the Bucks can't win this game. And that remained true in spite of Giannis putting in a performance of the ages. And it will remain true from here on out. Like, this is, it's a kind of tough spot they're in. They're down 2-0. It doesn't mean the series is over by any means. They can, and I really genuinely believe, based on what we've seen these two games, they can win game three and game four and get this series tied up and be right there in with a chance. It can't happen, though, unless you get at least one of those guys showing up in a real way. And really, you know, it would just be nice to get two of them showing up at, like, their average level. You don't need, like, the Bucks aren't here without either of those guys. We know that. They've both had incredible moments. They've also been pretty inconsistent throughout the playoffs. It would just be great to get five games from here where you get like play to your regular season averages. Don't need to be more. Chris doesn't need to go and have like 23 point third quarters. That doesn't need to happen. Just play to your average. How about score 23 points in the game on like efficient shooting numbers?
Or not efficient.
You don't even have to do that. You can be bad. You can't be awful. Like, this is awful.
I get that they are inconsistent players. I just don't think this is inconsistency. Like, this bad.
No, but it is tight.
It's
honestly, this is the thing that no one... They aren't as good as everyone wants them to be. And that's okay. They're really good players. They're really good players. But they
can be really good players.
No, I think they're really good players. You can't try out their whole career's worth of work based on this. But what they aren't is they're not at the truly elite level. This is not something that's news. This is not something that's news. If we're pretending we don't know this, I think we're all lying to ourselves. It still doesn't necessarily mean that the Bucks can't win at all with those two guys who are really, really good, but they're not an elite level. This is the reason that the dumb narratives exist, where people talk about Giannis not having help and where they talk about... No, maybe it's not.
I mean, 11 points in 41 minutes in a finals game. Like,
but you know what I mean in terms of how it's spun.
Bayless
gets up to talk about it, he's not really, he doesn't necessarily need the ammunition that he now has on a night like tonight.
Yeah, it's the ammo. I mean, I haven't seen Batman go down like this since the Justice League cartoon when I was a kid.
Batman go down like this since they tried to go to space and Bruce Wayne's like, what am I supposed to do?
But do you take the point? Like, honestly, these two guys, I just decided to skip right on past that for your sake.
I can't believe we said no. Never mind.
Do you agree? These aren't elite players. You know, they're not. Yes. They're not Chris Paul and Devin Booker. That's, you don't have to look further. You look at the upside of the floor. They're not those two guys. If Giannis had one of those guys, is he better off? Depends on how the Bucks build a roster otherwise, and we know what that can be like. But yeah, there is a chance. It doesn't mean that, you know, on their night, Chris and Drew aren't going to give you more than you get from that kind of player. But what separates, you know, very good from true greats is the ability to show up and do it every night. Those two guys aren't those players. We know that. It doesn't mean they can't get it done. But, like, this isn't a lesson, I don't think, or this isn't something that has revealed itself about either of those guys, in my opinion. This is what we know, and this is what we've been pretty good with going along with for quite some time, knowing that there's a risk that this can happen, and knowing that the flip side of it is both those two guys are good enough that they could play up to the moment. It just has not happened so far. Now, if they aren't the lead players... You know, if they're glorified role players play better at home.
That's true. We've seen Chris's numbers at home versus on the road. I mean, this team has just played better in general at home compared to on the road. But, like, come on.
It's just sickening, man. 11 like, points in 41.
Adam, you mentioned, like, if both of them play, like, average... One of them needed to play slightly below average, or just like generally below average. One of them. This was a winnable game with both of them being an absolute tire fire. Mm-hmm. They just needed like an 8-point run from both of them combined at one point, and they might win this game. It's just
the only reason I bring up both of them right playing to average is because that's the yardstick. It's because if the Suns have, say, a Pat Connaughton level role player do what he does tonight, while their top guy has the performance Giannis has tonight, it's a blowout. So they could have got away with just one of them showing up, but that in itself is kind of representative of what's wrong and why these kind of games can happen for them.
I mean, they did. They got 31 from Booker and they got 27 from Bridges.
I was going to say, the Suns kind of did have that. The Suns, I shouldn't say this when they're up 2-0, but again, with some of the performances we've seen from collective and individual Bucks, like, I don't know how some of these games are quite as close as they are.
The Bucks are 9 of 30. I feel like they've shot 9 of 31 from 3 every single playoff game this entire postseason.
Close to it. Very close to it.
The Suns have their spells of stalling out offensively. We said this before the series, and they do, but they have Chris Paul and Devin Booker to eventually kind of guide you through that. That's the difference.
Being like a Chris Paul team is why this was a winnable game. The Bucks went to straight prevent defense on Chris Paul late in the game. Not late, but like middle of the fourth quarter, and they went on a run because it's like late in games when you have Chris Paul on your team, if he's not getting the ball, the offense stalls out because they're used to giving the ball to Chris Paul at the end. That's how you win these games. They know the formula. They're trying to act on the formula. And then as soon as they get all their reagents together and they're sort of like, okay, let's do this, let's mix this all together, they accidentally start a fire and burn down the entire lab.
That sounds like a man speaking from experience.
Is that on the chart?
I have a burn
on
my forearm and I don't explain it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, but I'm also mad.
You're definitely
mad.
It's right to be mad.
I feel like inconsistent, like, give me 20 on 25 shots. That's inconsistent bad for, I don't know. I guess I don't know. I don't have data in front of me.
I think that's inconsistent bad for a player that's a level up. It's like if you can just, you're guaranteeing 20 points a night. Like, I'm saying this as someone who really, really loves Chris Middleton's game. I really do. I think he's an unbelievably good player. Good player. I've said this for a long time. Like, he is the top tier of guys who will make all-star games, and they will rightfully make all-star games. But he is not all NBA. And like, he's literally not all NBA. He's at a case for getting close year before last year. Can't remember.
Year before.
But he hasn't got there. And there is a reason for that. And there is a difference when you separate, you know, what makes a player who makes all NBA and what makes someone just below that. And we are seeing that. Like, Chris will go for 30 sometimes and he'll go for 11 other times. And that's what gives you your 20.5 point average. You know, that's the kind of the way it is. And it's really hurting now. I mean, all you can hope is that you get the 30 point game next time. And if you don't, well, it's a wrap.
Yeah, we talked about this on the YouTube pregame. It's not a must win game.
But it's the next two are.
It's a margin tightening game, and now it's like, I mean, if these two guys
we can't mess up again.
I think if these two guys play another game like this, even if it's a Phoenix game from here on, the series just feels over to me. Like, it just can't happen. And we'll see. They've responded well in the past. I mean, I think Chris has always had his worst games of series within the first two, but I know they're here. I recognize that they're here. This does not seem like a sustainable formula to win a championship where it's like we biff all these advantages and make it way harder than it has to be and throw away winnable games and put ourselves in the corner. Like, it's worked. The Bucks have been a very resilient team this year. At some point, the odds are probably going to bite you on that. And it just feels like...
going to run out of games. Simple as.
Yeah.
That's what happens if you don't win the next two. Like, I could sit here and talk about it, and I could, that I think there were positives, mostly on the defensive end. Yeah. I think just in terms of looking, projecting forward for the series, obviously there were the individual stuff, Giannis, Pat, couple of others we can make cases for.
You can put Brooke in there.
Brooke,
I thought he was really good defensively, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, he was. It's just, why is he not playing more? Why is he not playing more? Why is he not playing more when he might be your second most reliable offensive player in terms of...
Might be, he is.
He has a skill where you know you can go to that and he's going to be able to score from it. Like, Jeff Van Gundy was calling for that too at one point in the game where it's like, he's got just such a good touch. He's so strong. He's got the size advantage over basically anyone, including Ayton. Like, Ayton really, really good player. He was a
non-factor tonight.
He can get pushed around by Giannis. He can get pushed around by Brooke. Like, yeah.
He got dominated. Size,
yeah, 100%. 100%.
Also, JVG is winning me over, by the way. Mark Jackson is absolute trash. But
with
JVG,
all due respect.
Yeah. No, no respect given.
Van Gundy's having a really good series. And I don't know. I don't really feel that way.
You guys want to know a fun stat that I just saw on Twitter?
Is it?
It's not a thing. No, it's not at all. Actually, it is kind of fun. This is from Dan Devine. Giannis is now averaging 31, 14 and a half and four on 63.6% shooting through two finals games. And his team is plus four in his 75 minutes.
Yeah,
they have lost the 21 minutes he has sat by 27 points.
It's people are going to keep making the, was it 08 Cavs comps? And yeah, that's what it's been like. That's, we're here. We're looking at Chris Mo Williams Middleton and saying, hey, maybe do more. Maybe match that energy a little bit.
That's a, oof. I can't even, spicy. I can't disagree. I can't even argue. I can't.
Honestly, that might be disrespectful to Mo. Let me see what his box scores were like in that finals. If Mo never less than 12 points in that finals,
we are getting
mad,
Indian
fellas.
Food Thai tonight.
Thai, maybe, you know, just put one foot on this take and then revisit it after game three.
I just got to see his box.
I said I was going to go full game three against Brooklyn.
Was it 07? Nah, it was 07. Oh, wait. Oh, what year was that?
Bucks could do it like Bucks shot making Mo Williams right now. Just a player like that would be useful.
It was, oh wait,
Ty. You're digging in this deep to compare Chris to Cavs Mo Williams.
He really is right now.
Well, anyone else can talk. I mean,
oh, I've been trying to. I've been trying to fill air while Bodhi were just clearly looking up stats here.
I mean, like,
Raul's gonna be like, oh, fun stat, and it's not gonna be fun. And Ty's trying to compare Cavs Mo Williams to Chris Middleton, and I'm just here trying to have a podcast.
It's okay. Ty's realizing that Mo Williams didn't play in the
finals. Wasn't on the finals team. He was on the Bucks still.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
So Chris was Drew Gooden.
What a truly stunning moment of podcasting that was. Thanks for joining us, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it.
Mo was on the Cavs team that lost to Orlando when they used all the PEDs in the conference finals. That's my mistake.
What is going on?
Multiple guys got suspended. That's not even an accusation. That's just something that happened. It's,
oh, we're not talking about that.
Okay, fine.
It's the fact that we are talking about that is what I'm wondering what's going on.
But the comparison on its face, even though it's not possible, still stands, right? Like Chris Middleton, it's LeBron's supporting cast, and now that's turned into Giannis' supporting cast. Like Giannis is having these all-time performances in the finals, doing everything that he possibly can for his team to win, and his team is letting him down. Again, like I mentioned earlier, that's why we're mad. That's why we're disappointed. It's because we're seeing what Giannis can do, and he's just being let down. Like, it's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate. But Adam, I know you wanted to talk. We were getting into it before Ty went on his Mo Williams tirade about Brook Lopez and sort of why isn't Brook Lopez playing more. Where did you want to start with that?
I mean, I'm going to sound like a broken record and like the world's biggest Brook Lopez fan. Maybe I'm both of those things. I don't know. I still don't think there's any of it that's untrue. Much like game one, he's out there. Sure, they're getting him in switches, not anywhere near as often. You know, they dropped early the books. That worked. Even when it wasn't switches, Drew a bit of credit. Is that allowed?
Yes, but very quickly.
Defensively, much better.
Game defensively. Way better than Chris on that end.
Sticking to Chris Paul.
Yes.
You know, not getting stuck on screen, sticking to Chris Paul, making it tough. And when you can do that, then you're funneling him into Brook rather than giving him a clear runway to pull up before he gets to Brook, which is a crucial difference. And he was doing that. So in that case, you know, that's why Brook is only minus one. That's why Brook can be out there on the floor. And even offensively, again, there were good signs there. They just weren't going to him enough. Pretty puzzling. Part of that is down to Drew then on the negative side of the ledger. 7 assists tonight, 9 assists last time. I don't know where they're coming from.
How many of these are giving the ball to Giannis?
I was going
to
say, Chris had just 8 in this game too. Yeah, they insert the ball to Giannis in the paint and Giannis scores.
Because he's just not, Drew is not seeking out players. Like, to Chris's credit, and this has happened in both games, he's the guy who will have his head up and he connects with lobs of Brook much better than he does with Giannis. But he has his head up, he'll see a mismatch for Brook in the post and he'll go and find it. Drew doesn't do that, doesn't do it anywhere near enough. Doesn't just look and be like, you know what, Brook's got a little bit of space in there, he'll have some time, couple of steps, and he'll get a hook shot. It just wasn't enough of that. And I really don't understand how Bud is going this way and really why he's feeling the need to not have one of his best two-way players, one of the guys he can actually rely on both sides out there, where there are other players who are out there that are a much greater problem.
I don't think he's not playing him because of Brook. I think Drew being more of a combo guard than a true point guard manifests itself more than anything in, I feel like he just has so much trouble being effective driving the ball when Giannis and Brook are both out there because the spacing isn't the same. And I don't think that's an unworkable situation. I think there's opportunities and plays and to be had and alley-oops to be had and everything else. I mean, the Suns are so much smaller when the Bucks play both of those guys. Drew should be able to get to the paint anywhere and there's going to be a lob, a cut. He's going to have space, something. Like, there's a benefit not to the lack of spacing, but to the fact that you're trading it for size. But I feel like Drew never looks comfortable, as comfortable at least, with those two guys both out there. So I do think that's part of it. Although, even without Brook late, he wasn't all that much more useful. I do think that's some of the thing for Drew. I feel like he just has trouble when both of those guys are playing. But figure it out, man. It's not worth not playing Brook. Figure it out. Exactly. They're good players.
And how much at this point do you cater it for Drew,
yeah,
as opposed to just being like, well, we know what Brook can do here, and we know if we just get him the ball there, what's there for us? And it's just like, they're leaving food on the table. Remember Giannis had the had the quote in, was that the Nets series?
Heat series, wasn't it?
All the way back in that?
Don't play with our food?
Don't play with our food.
Yeah, that was
Well, let's get back to talking about food, because you're leaving food on the table. And part of that is, without doubt, Brook Lopez. Like, it's really there for him. And even you look at the offensive rebounds, seven offensive rebound advantage on the Suns, and it could have been much greater. And when Brook was out there, they were really getting a lot of joy. And you've got Brook and Giannis out there. Throw Pat there as well. Like, the Suns have no answer for that. And this is a night where if Brook plays 7-8 more minutes, which is even on the low side.
PJ was fine. Like,
PJ is useless late in games, honestly.
True, true.
PJ in the second half. I just had the numbers pulled up. Zero shots, one offensive rebound, one turnover. That was it. In 16 minutes.
I actually thought PJ, for most of tonight, did a really good job on Devin Booker until Devin Booker started just draining trees left, right, and center, which, as we talked about, that's not what the percentages say he's going to do. He was doing it over, like, really good contests. That's just a top-class shot maker making shots. That's tough. There's not a lot you can do about that. But the problem is, this series has become a series that's being dictated by offense. The Bucks don't have enough offense. And PJ Tucker late in games is a problem. And again, not entirely on him. There was a case late in the fourth, for example, where the Bucks had a play that was pretty broken. And it involved Drew driving, not finding any. It came out to Chris. Chris got it in the corner, went to drive. And instead of passing back to PJ, who's wide open the corner, it went back to Drew, who basically went through again, drive, and nothing comes of it. Where it's like, gotta have your head up. If PJ's on the floor, and PJ's in the corner wide open, if you're not finding PJ, what are you doing?
So Giannis plays 21:36 in the second half. That means he sat for, what, 2 minutes and 24 seconds?
Yep.
They were plus 8 in his minutes, and they won the second half by 1 point. So they were minus 7 in less than 2.5 minutes that he sat in the second half. Brook Lopez in the second half in 13.5 minutes, plus 3.
See, these are some good stats we can get by.
He was game-wide second in plus-minus, and you wonder, oh, maybe the second half is a different story. It's better in the second half. He had a better plus-minus in the second half than the first half. 2 for 5 from the field, 4 rebounds for Brook, 1 steal, 2 blocks, all in the second half. And it felt like he had more total blocks than he did. I agree, Adam. His presence was felt around the rim. We talked about the soft switching and not letting the Suns just get whatever switch they wanted, making them score against the more optimal defensive setup. And the Bucks did that, and it worked. I mean, I've said at times, definitely on Twitter, said a lot on Twitter today, that I have no smoke for Bud. I agree on Lopez. That would be the one thing. I'm not even that fired up about Teague Forbes anymore. Forbes only played that was second half. Forbes didn't play as much.
Forbes didn't play more. Second half at all.
He played 23 seconds.
Sorry, okay.
What I was looking at.
End of game.
Almost.
Honestly.
Teague over Forbes.
But Teague was perfectly playable in the context of what the options the Bucks have. You know, I thought Teague was really game, really locked in and engaged in his minutes. Didn't make a ton of bad decisions. Didn't get really cooked defensively.
I feel like
Devin Booker hit a shot over him, and people started tweeting about it. It's like, Devin Booker hit a shot over him. What is the big deal here? He was there. He contested it. Booker is bigger. Booker is better. It's just one of those things that people, every time he's on the floor, it's like, oh, you know, he's terrible. They're throwing it away now with Teague. I actually thought Teague was
really quite impressive.
Given what we've come to expect and what you're asking of him. Forbes, that's not true. Jersey. I mean, Forbes, he made his final three-pointer. The two before that, I don't think caught rim. I mean,
I can't believe they're still doing the play. The fucking play. It's an explicit pod. I'm sorry. I'm so sick of this play. I'm so sick of the play. I hate it so much. And they do it every time. And I know it's the core of a play. I don't care. The play sucks. Throw the play away.
The play could be okay.
I'm sick of watching this guy take off.
It could be fine if it's a guy who can make the shot. Yeah,
it's a ridiculous play.
They keep getting good shots from it.
The other direction.
Ty, they're getting good shots from it. The guy is missing them.
He has to turn. Like, just let him catch and shoot.
That's what they're doing.
No, not the play.
Do you remember? No,
he's
do you remember
sprinting
the
other direction.
That
That's
made
not
me
a good
lose
shot.
My mind last time.
Oh, yeah.
You're saying let him catch and shoot. So he got a chance to catch and shoot. Wasn't on the move. And he decided to drive and then not drive and go one-legged. And I don't want to go over that again.
I don't want him to play in the first place. But if he's going to be out there, why can't he just be PJ? Just go stand over there. Don't move. Don't ever cross the arc, ever. I don't know. I don't like the play. I don't like the shots that come from the play. He's twisting around.
The player is the problem.
Around. It's a ridiculous play. I don't understand how it's not a travel either. I'm not usually a travel truther. He takes so many steps when he's going around.
I honestly, I don't know. Ron, do you know what's going on?
No, I have no idea. Honestly.
So dribble handoff with Giannis. That's the play, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
I just hate it. I hate it so much.
I think I understand why you hate it is because it results in a lot of bricks.
Yes.
The problem is that with a normal good shooter, that's a good play. It's just not with Forbes. I understand your frustration because it leads to bad results.
Well, it's just, I don't like the optics.
Can I say this something that I thought about on the last pod and I bit my tongue and I regret it now?
Sure. Well, I'm not done on the play yet.
Well, this is related to the play. I wish they just kept 40-year-old Kyle Korver instead of Brent Forbes.
Oh, my God.
You
goodness.
Could sell me on that.
Like, I don't get it. I didn't get it at the start of the season. This is something we
might
argued
have,
about
it might be
on
the
our
same
pre-season
result.
Pod. It might be, but you've got a better shooter. I don't think Kyle Korver is not missing rim, like, over and over again.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. His Bucks tenure was rough.
Oh, yeah. And what's Bryn Forbes?
Rough.
I have a tweet for Bryn Forbes that I'm feeling good about. I've got a really good tweet. But I don't want him to see the court again to get to tweet it. That's the place I'm at. I came up with it. I was like, oh, you know what? I'm a shot too late with this. He made his tree. I'm like, oh, I'll wait for the next one. Thankfully, he didn't come back in, but we'll see.
I think the issue is, for me, the dribble handoff is like too far from the arc. just watch it. It's just it looks ridiculous. I can't support it any longer. But if you're going to do it, run it for Chris. I've never understood why they refuse to run shooting plays. They never do. I'm sorry.
That's the point Ron and I are making, though. They run it for Chris.
Not that. Move closer to the... The only time they ever run shooter plays for Chris is the same end of game play that now they can't even inbounds the last couple times they tried it. And B, the most beautiful sidelines out of bounds plays you'll ever see in like the middle of the second quarter.
They're great at second
They're
quarter.
So good. It's like, why does this never translate?
They anything they want in the second quarter out of a timeout.
They come out of a random second or third quarter timeout, and it's just like, I want to cry. The basketball is so beautiful. And then 20 straight minutes of just the worst, least creative. I don't understand why play random is the point. I don't get it. I'm broken. I'm Rohan from the Nets series. I'm fucking done. Like, the potential is right there. It's right there.
You know what's incredible? You mentioned the play random, and obviously that's because
it's gonna live forever on Bucks Twitter.
No, we saw him say it again during the pregame show.
Yeah. I asked, was this the same clip? And I'm not. Are you sure? Have you watched the two back to back? I'm not convinced.
I'm pretty sure they're not, because one of them, Thanasis, is wearing a jersey. One of them's a warm up, I believe.
That would do it.
I believe. I could be wrong here.
Someone pull the tape. Someone listening. I forgot we're not live. Someone listening tomorrow.
I'm gonna. Pull the tape. I had a conversation about this, which I thought was interesting. I reframed this for me in a way where I was like, you know what? Fair enough. Brad Fisher on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Brad is pro play. My guy, Brad. We disagree on Bud.
No,
he's pro play random.
The point he made is, would you feel better if he said, don't be predictable?
Yes, but that's why
I can't defend that.
That's why it's important.
And I said, that's a subtle difference in language that I think is important. But Brad's point, and I can't disprove it, is, you know, Bud, if Bud says play random, and if he's saying it like game to game like this, which is really the thing that startled me. Is I thought it was said once I was like, that's weird. Twice I'm like, really? Is this the thing every game? But if it is, if it's at that level, maybe it's a shorthand for the players, and the players know what that means. I can't
also
disprove
we
that.
We haven't seen any inside locker room button like any time in the Bud tenure. So he could be saying this every game. It could just be pre-game.
It's thing. Also, as you can say, it's tough because it's like, it's nonsense. It's all nothing. Like, unless the Monty Williams Ayton.
They're so good.
It was phenomenal.
So good.
But unless you give it, like, he talked for, say, 90 seconds there without really getting into anything basketball. So there's someone in the truck for ESPN who's like, we've got goals. We've got 90 seconds of the coach talking. There's nothing in it that we can't show because it's giving away strategy. Like, unless a coach does that, you're getting really kind of grim, empty platitudes that I just wish they didn't show, because it doesn't make any of us, you know, any more healthy mentally. And it doesn't put Bud in any better light. Like, I don't know who benefits from those clips generally. Even just, you know, a random Tuesday in December where we get a timeout and it's like, yeah, play harder, you know, play faster.
Get back on defense.
It's like, who benefits from this? There's got to be a better way.
My thing about play random is they don't even do it. Like, they never move off ball. Play random, cut to the basket once.
Drew Holiday was doing some pretty random stuff at this game where I was like, you know what? I couldn't have predicted that you'd make that.
They were unpredictable, like, to each other on the court. But, like, this is not the Me Mad at Bud podcast. Honestly, I almost find him endearing.
It is about the play.
He draws it up every game, at least twice. I've started to make Bud faces unironically without trying to. That's how deep into Bucks basketball I am.
What I'm observing here is that you are going through exactly what I went through during the Brooklyn series, which is why I think I'm more calm than you, because I'm already broken.
We're not like Chris and Drew. It's only one of us at once who's going to do this because we understand the dynamics of a winning team. Yep. It's infuriating. I said it wrong. I don't care.
This is my off night. This is quite something.
I don't even know. Pat almost had a game where I was going to tweet about retiring the jersey.
Pat did have a game. He just had a terrible 30 seconds at the worst possible time. But you can't blame him for that, given what he's done up until that point. It's like, how much more are you asking for from him?
The hustle was incredible. His shot making was incredible.
Man possessed on both ends of the floor.
Yes. It was great. He was one of three players to show up for Milwaukee tonight. And they needed every single minute from him to even be within striking distance in this game. Which, again, why, if you had one other player, like, sort of show up, like, half-ass show up, like, that would have worked too. But no. But Pat Connaughton, that was a great performance. Ty, if they somehow come into this series, I might be here.
Welcome. I mean, the way this guy has showed up at these times throughout this postseason run, it's absolutely magical. That run sucked. I would have tweeted about the jersey if it wasn't the turnover on the pass to Chris he never should have made, and then he compensates for it.
And he instantly regretted it.
Oh, yeah,
he got a bad pass on that in the first place, though, to give him credit. He was put in a bad spot, and then he made it worse.
He should have just shot. But then the next possession, he compensates, says, oh, I'm not going to do that again, and absolutely bricks a shot. But the Bucks made 9 threes. Pat made 4. Nobody else made more than one.
When did Elijah Bryant play?
18 whole seconds.
Right when? At the end of the game?
Yeah.
Was it at the end?
Yeah.
I assume so, because I wasn't paying attention.
Had to be.
I didn't remember Forbes coming back in the second half either, because that would have got me mad.
So it might have been at the end.
End of the game.
I think it was. Forbes played less than 30 seconds in the second half, so I'm pretty sure it was. Because I know Giannis checked out first. I think the other guys checked out after. Some guys were checked out from before opening tip.
Mm-hmm.
These are my least favorite pods from a strategy perspective, because it's like
they
do
had
better.
A good strategy. Let's talk about the strategy.
Rohan. I think the strategy is there.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. Like, I don't have
it's
a
like
great,
we can't complain about the strategy. Yeah, is the thing.
I don't have tips. So, like, just do it better, or just
so
not even.
They did it better. Just no. I, just be better.
Make
too,
shots.
Guys.
Yeah, we make know shots. What you mean. Yeah.
So they came out of the gates, and let's talk about the defense a bit. They came out of the gates and they did not switch 1 through 5, which they did in the from the outset of game one. They came out and they were starting to, you know, fight through screens, get back to their base defense. And to their credit, they were doing a great job at the outset of the game. Jrue Holiday was especially fantastic. He was getting over screens. He was staying attached to Chris Paul, like you were mentioning earlier, Adam. It was a good defensive performance. Brook Lopez was finding his spots. He was getting blocks. He was getting steals, like deflections. Like Giannis was getting superhuman blocks. Like it was a good defensive scheme. And that even carried out through the majority of the game. And even in the end of the game, like I mentioned earlier, they play prevent defense on Chris Paul. The strategy's there. Like Phoenix, what did they score? 118 at the end. That kind of got a little out of hand because of the free throws and stuff like that. Devin Booker getting hot. But outside of that, like you did a decent job on the defensive end. I can't 118 even
complain. 118 is fine. Is the thing too. Like this is
118 with Mikal Bridges putting up 27 and Phoenix shooting 50%. Like
50% with 20 made threes. You're like 118, and it's because the Bucks bludgeoned them in the paint. 54-28, which again, great sign. You're going to need to keep doing that, and you're going to need more. That's why you're in this game. And that comes down to your paint defense is phenomenal. Now, the one thing I will say, going back to that first quarter, and this is the reason Bobby Portis didn't play again, and this is kind of unfair to spot Bud put him in, but when Teague first came in, I put this in our group chat and we talked about the time, but the problem with the changes Bud made in the first quarter, and it's also the reason why they finished that quarter up 3 points instead of up 8 or 9 points, is he took Jrue out and he brought Teague in, and he took Brook out and he brought Portis in. So your pick and roll defense that has been working so great,
gone.
The two focal points of it, just pulled from the game and replaced by Teague and Bobby Portis. And Bobby, unfortunately, is the representative of that. He played 5 minutes, he's -5. And there you go. That's an 8-point lead coming out of the first quarter. If you don't do that, like, yeah, it's at the point you've got to do one of those things. Don't take the two guys out together and just completely decimate what had been working really well for you. And it's the thing that we talked about from game one. It's like, this Suns team is so good and they have a lot of guys who can shoot, where if you just give them a little bit of daylight and they start making shots, they may never look back from there, and you're paying for the rest of the game. They just don't need those few minutes of confidence. But that was the thing for me, because you could see, one, how good Brook and Jrue were working as a tandem. So the drop was working. When they were switching, it was working throughout the game. Even late in game, when they were really targeting Pat, they got Pat a couple of times. Booker got him. But then after that, Pat and Jrue were doing a great job of just fighting off the switch. Jrue was just, I'm going to keep going. Pat was going to keep moving, and they weren't going to let the Suns get the switch. That's much easier to do with Pat than it is with Brook, to avoid kind of the mismatch being forced upon you. But there's a lot there defensively that's good. 118 against a team like the Suns, as you said, Ty, who shot like they did, with Mikal Bridges shooting 27 points, that's not bad at all. Your problem is your offense. It's the bottom line of the series so far. The defense wasn't as good in game one, but even then it wasn't your problem. The problem is your offense. You need to find more points. You need not your best player, because your best player is doing it, but your next best players need to step up and deliver some scoring, because otherwise there's nothing you can do. You can defend as well as you want, but against players of the caliber the Phoenix have, they're still going to find ways to score, as we saw in this game.
Outside of the Lopez minutes, this really did feel like quietly a quite good Budenholzer game. Like making some of the more subtle adjustments it's not super subtle for coaching, but for, I think, you know, subtle from us watching perspective of like the way they switched or didn't switch and how they fought harder on that kind of stuff. Like I felt like a lot of the right levers were pulled. Definitely need more Lopez, but this is the kind of thing where if they somehow lose a super tight game where Chris and Jrue play well and everything else is the same, then maybe you're more upset about it. Not sure it matters at all. And then maybe it did because it was so tight, but I certainly agree. I mean, it's just hard to look at how they played with Lopez out there and think he should only play. What did he play? Like the first 10 or so minutes of the game, and they were up 8 and he pulls out, and then he only
plays 15 minutes from then on.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make any sense at all. Like, don't want to use too many of his minutes early. We only have 16 of those left. Like, yeah, it's bad. That's objectively bad. He should clearly play more.
And Jackson Frank tweeted, Brook Lopez keeps getting benched in the fourth quarter. When in reality, PJ Tucker has been the much more problematic front court starter in this series. And that's true, because PJ, you can actually look at his line and be like, oh, but PJ standards, that's a good offensive game. 7 points, 3-5 shooting. He had those 7 points in like the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So he didn't score the rest of the game. Like, I genuinely think, I'll go and check it, but I think it was his first 5 minutes. So then he goes 30 minutes scoreless when the Bucks just need any points they can get. Like, he was doing a pretty good job, as good as anyone could do on Devin Booker for a lot of this game. Doesn't matter. You need the scoring. You need the scoring. You can't have Brook on the bench and PJ Tucker out there. It just doesn't work.
Shouts to our Blue Wire teammate, Jackson Frank. Check out the house that Hinkie built, his 76ers podcast. But he had a tweet after, or during, or after game one, I think it was after, where the words was like, can't have Lopez out there because of all the mid-range jumpers he gives up. And it was, the clip he shared was the Bucks small lineup. And I forget who it was, but someone just gets absolutely dusted and it's an easy layup for the Suns. It's just like, it's a pretty good point. Pretty good point. Like, they give up points when Lopez isn't out there too. The Giannis at five lineup to close is quite good. I think it's a fine lineup. I wouldn't mind seeing that lineup game to game. But you can still play that group and play Brook more than 28 minutes. It's
the only problem with that lineup is you don't have a fifth player who's good.
You don't have Torrey Craig.
That's definitely not what I'm talking about. If Bryn Forbes was good, that Giannis at center lineup is
Dante.
Is a killer. Dante, if Dante is there.
And good. No, if he's there, it would be better. It would be better.
Dante
on his good nights, that lineup is unstoppable.
On his good nights, yeah, but we know. Look at Chris on his good nights and Drew on his good nights. You know, there's a similar problem at a lower level down the food chain with Dante. You know, wherever the ragu sits on the food chain.
Just absolutely miss Dante.
I'm pining for Dante.
Don't really want him back, but...
Don't think he will be.
Just... It's insane. That's speaks to the roster, but that's not my job. That's John Horst's job.
Well, it's your job to speak on it.
True, but it also might be Masai's job in the future. Please, Masai. yeah, I don't know where I was going with that segue, to be completely honest. but yeah, it's just inconsistency up and down the entire roster, except for Giannis and Brooke and Pat for the most part.
Brook had a truly awful layup attempt in this game. It wasn't a great Brook Lopez game. Offensively, yeah, I thought
I remember what I was going to say. It was about the Giannis at the five lineups. What we were seeing late in that fourth quarter, though, is they were getting beat on the boards on those lineups, and that's been the main problem with those lineups, is that when you get those mismatches that the Suns cause, like on defense, you get out-rebounded, and that's the main problem, which is why you can only play those in stretches. Like you were talking about, Ty, you need to see that game to game, but you can't see that for like extended stretches throughout a game. Like you can't see that for an entire fourth quarter because you'll run into these problems, which is why maybe throw out your best rebounder and one of the best rebounders in the league in Brook Lopez in terms of team efficiency, because rebounding is more of a team statistic, whatever.
I also feel like they're just not hustling enough on some of these 50-50 balls. It feels like
Devin Booker got his own miss twice.
There is something with that, though, and there was one really late in the game where Chris Paul got a corner three.
Giannis can't move. To shoot it.
Yeah. Giannis can't move, though. And then it's like someone sees him there, and they're like, oh, he's there, but he's not there. You've got to go. And it's the least you can do for him is be like, I've got to go and get that. I've got to cover him. But I saw it happen a couple of times this game where you're like, the other thing is, there was a play in game one, and there's one here as well, where it's like the ball is there for Giannis to get. He can't throw himself on the floor to go after a ball. Like, he just can't. He looks at it and he knows he can't. So you're letting it go. So that's kind of a tricky thing that it's far from ideal, but there's been a few plays where I'm just like accepting it because Giannis can't do that. But his teammates need to be more attuned to we are actually covering for him in certain circumstances. He's doing such a phenomenal job that it doesn't feel like it, and it's very little you have to do. But what you do have to do is, you know, if he's giving help defense to you and his back's turned and all of a sudden the ball breaks loose and it goes to Chris Paul in the corner, you've got to be the guy to dart out there. I think it was Chris was the other guy there, and they both stood there. And it's just like, this is a bad defensive game for Chris too, which I think is maybe important to flag up, because Drew did his part defensively and then some. Like, remember that play, the force to the jump ball with DeAndre Ayton? That was pretty spectacular.
Yeah,
but just his defense was really there. Chris, you can't say that for, obviously he's not
chased
in Drew's
down
league
on
as a
Booker?
Defender.
Yeah.
And just no one else is back.
No one was there.
No one.
Again, it's like, we get Giannis can't be back for everything, but some of these other guys.
Was Giannis even on the court?
I don't know. He might not have been.
I'm not sure if he was.
He takes a few half courts off, and I get it.
But that, I don't think he did there. I think he was off the floor. Chris was, again, one of the guilty parties. There was like three guys who hadn't crossed half court.
And just, there were three Suns there, and there was Jrue Holiday.
And one of them was Ayton
down blocking. Yeah,
like, how is Ayton there before any other Buck? He's huge.
Because they gave up. They gave up on the
Brooke
play.
Brooke beats Ayton down the floor whenever he wants to.
That's like, crazy. It's so
it's
weird.
It's like, Ayton doesn't move anywhere at speed, like, unless, you know.
Unless he's got the ball and he's about to dunk.
Unless he's got the ball or he's about to get the ball and he's within, like, 10 feet.
People were saying DeAndre Ayton is the next David Robinson. Just look at this game. Like, calm your takes. Like, come on.
It's 2.0 is actually what I heard.
I've seen some very spicy takes from Suns fans. But you know what? I'm not saying anything because they're up 2-0 in the finals. You know, they deserve it. Feel good about yourself.
40% from the field, 10 points, 11 rebounds. Like, Andy got dominated by Giannis. Like, come on.
All we have to do, though, is look at how spicy Ty's got with the Bucks down 0-2 and reverse that. Like, if Chris had the opposite of this game, if he was Mo Williams on the Cavs, even though that it was literally impossible,
well,
who would he be if things are reversed? So I forgive some Suns kind of, you know, getting carried away because
I mean, it's the finals.
It wasn't Suns fans saying that David Robinson thing. Also.
No, but I've seen other stuff. Don't worry, I've seen
Luka's plenty. Still better.
Just need Chris to play like he's 6'8 and also a great offensive player.
So you need him to be Chris Middleton?
Yes. With these rebounds. He's had really good rebounding games in the playoffs, and he's had good scoring around the basket games in the playoffs. This was not one of either.
He's had,
of those
had just elite games in general in the playoffs. Like,
but like just
last week, literally last
2 days ago. 2 days ago, he had 29. But
I think it's something we never said, which is worth saying because we opened up with rightfully saying about Giannis, like Giannis having the best game of his career today. Chris Middleton has on multiple occasions in these playoffs had the best game of his career.
Yeah.
Now maybe those games were all boiling down to single quarters. But given the stakes and given what the Bucks needed and given what they got out of it.
Say the same for Giannis.
Yeah, that's true. That is actually true. But yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the Chris Middleton experience, though. It is. And like, that's for just how polarizing a player he has become, and unnecessarily so. It's like, I just think if everyone could just live in the middle ground. Which,
if he could, you know, we'd really be set.
But he kind of does because
he averages.
He just kind of teeters either side of that is the thing. Yeah, like it's, and that is the definition of it. Like he's not average Joe role player where he's only going to score 15 a night, but he can do that regularly. That's not what he is. He's a level above that, but he's not Giannis, he's not Chris Paul, he's not Devin Booker. You want to go around the league. Like, there's a lot of players that he's not. I know it's not fun, but it's kind of,
it's excruciating.
It's the truth of it. But that doesn't mean that he won't have one of those games in game 3 and game 4. Like,
I know.
The Bucks are going to need him to. The Bucks need a lot. I mean, anyone listening going to game 3 or game 4, be as loud as you've ever been in your life. This team needs everything anyone can give them right now. Everything. All the pressure you could put on the refs, because although Giannis like was undeniably getting fouled and he was getting the free throws because there's just no way you could say he wasn't getting fouled tonight, And it's Chris, for everything we're saying, Chris is not getting any calls. And that is really tough. And
literally has not shot a free throw yet this series.
This is the kind of game where a couple of free throws could have unlocked something, or a couple of trips kind of in quick succession. He's not getting anything. It's pretty crazy, but it's the case. So I think if you're going to game three, you got to bring the noise. Because
who's the ref who hates Chris Paul? Is it Foster?
It's Foster. Yeah.
And he was there tonight.
Was he? No, I thought it was Zarba and Brothers.
He's in one of the Milwaukee games.
Brothers were the two I recognized.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yep. I think Scott Foster's game three, though.
We need him.
Jesus.
This is where we're at.
I cannot believe the words "we need him" referring to Scott Foster were just uttered.
Adam said, we need everything we can get.
I was talking with the fans getting into the game and just dialing the pressure up a little bit. I wasn't like, please.
This is an all-time Ty Windish podcast.
This is
an all-time. He's trying to rival by game three against Brooklyn right now.
They could have used him tonight. That's all I'm saying.
Could have used Scott Foster. My goodness. I don't know what is happening right now. I don't even know where to go from there. We need Scott Foster. Like, we're not down that bad.
No. Like, this is... Can we just, like, backtrack a little bit to where we were before the game? We had this exact conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a tough loss. It's a painful loss because Giannis played as well as he did. But Giannis played as well as he did. Like, the Suns have got nothing for him. Nothing for him. My biggest concern is how he's going to be feeling a couple of days from now, because he took multiple bangs. He was down quite a few times. Can we talk a little bit about Chris Paul and that charge, which I just hate? And honestly, then Torrey Craig comes up trying to take a charge. He gets injured because, you know, Giannis goes full force. It's like, why are those kind of plays still a thing? It's terrible. Said this on Twitter. I'm not banned the charge guy, but there are certain circumstances where it's being incentivized, where it's just like, it's not worth it.
Circumstances, the challenge, when you're playing against Giannis.
The challenge should have been when Campaign crashed into Brooke, because it was an 8-point game at that time. You win that challenge, which you would have, go down the other end and score a 2-possession game. Like, you had all the momentum. You don't challenge it. The Suns score. It's back to double digits. That was the challenge.
Or maybe when Devin Booker followed his 3-point miss and traveled, then set an illegal screen to give him Mikal Bridges corners three. Maybe we do need Scott Foster. No. I take it back.
They need to go and take care of business at home. Like, it's not impossible. That's not too much of an ask.
I didn't say they're out of the series. I'm just down bad.
No, I know you're down bad. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to talk you back up here. This is what we're here for, right? So this is an intervention, and we're going to help you out of this, Ty. We're going to get you back to believing in the books, which you'd come to do. I don't know why.
It was my intervention.
Yours? What? You're doing all right.
I think
I've seen you much worse.
Couple rounds. I think he's referring to then.
Yeah.
Well, there weren't numbers.
An intervention?
There weren't numbers on that pod. You can't do a one-on-one
I was on my own, and I was just like, that. What can I do here? What am I a part of? I was on the poster, is basically what happened. I was on your poster. You may have been crying while dunking it in, but I was on the poster. But they need to win two games at home.
Have we all broken on the pod except Adam now?
I broke the last game when Bryn Forbes took that shot.
That's
as much as I'm going to break. But
I think Jordan, after the game four against Atlanta, I think Jordan was, for Jordan standards, pretty.
That's the Giannis injury?
Yeah.
Former Ivers not?
Yeah. And also, I think we had one about like the ghosts of Bucks playoff failures past or something. And I think it was me, one of you two, and Jordan. And Jordan was like really leaning into that. Oh my God, this is rough. Jordan's been on some tough post-game pods.
Yeah, he's bad luck. It's good when he goes to games. It's bad when he can be on podcasts.
I mean, he's not here. They still
lost.
Yeah, I know. I was going to defend that. And he is going to a game soon. So hopefully he brings some luck. I do just think there's still plenty here.
Yeah.
Like I know how annoying a lot of people will find that to hear me say that, but I do, in spite of everything, there's a lot here for the Bucks.
Yeah.
You just actually got to take advantage of it. You guys have got to play
on the table.
Like the championship is there and up for grabs, because it still is. But one more game where you don't take care of it and it's gone.
Yeah. I mean, this is people. We had the must win conversation before the podcast. Got two in a row now. I mean, no one's come back from 3-0. Teams have come back from 3-1. I wouldn't love the Bucks' chances. Now we're here. We are must win territory in the NBA Finals. They've been here before this playoffs. They can do it. I don't know if I believe Bucks in seven anymore.
It was Bucks in six that you weren't backing down from a few hours ago. So that's
It depended on this game.
So wouldn't that shift to Bucks in seven then?
No, he doesn't believe that either.
Yeah, well, did you the game that we saw?
You asked me, did I see the game? Was that the question?
Oh, I was going to, and then I didn't. I just said the game that we saw. I haven't changed.
I've said it earlier. Nothing about my prediction will change until game three. That's what decides it. That has always been the case. Well, when I say things, I mean them, right? It's
Jeff Teague game. It happened.
It did.
This is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. I think the way to put this is, if we want to use food metaphors, there's plenty of food left on the table for Milwaukee. The question is, are all of them hungry enough to finish it?
Well, there's one thing that we should touch on, because I don't think Torrey Craig's coming back anytime soon.
Yeah, Suns are running out of guys.
Suns are running out of front court guys. And the Bucks got Crowder and Ayton in toughish spots, but just couldn't get any more fouls laid on. But they attacked them. Well, Giannis attacked them in the right way. And if he can continue to do that, there's a lot of joy there. Like, resistance is going to be less and less. Like, we're going to see more and more. He only played 1 minute. I felt like he was on the court for ages, Frank Kaminsky. His face just kept being there. I don't know why in 1 minute you have to show Frank Kaminsky's face that many times. They did. But Giannis kind of get looks at like Abdel Nader now. This is the NBA Finals. So that's something to, you know, feel good about his chances. I think given how he played tonight, Giannis can cope with Abdel Nader.
Let's hope so. I mean, he should. He should be able to.
I'm surprised Cam Johnson didn't play more, honestly. 18 minutes for him. He's such a good shooter. I know defensively not the best, but I think he should play more. I can't
believe he's actually good. That's unfortunate. Yeah.
So who the heck is Tyshawn Alexander?
No
idea. Who is that?
Also, I'm sure he's a two-way guy.
The Suns have an open roster spot, by the way. I don't know why.
I'm not that jazzed. I mean, could have Brandon Knight, franchise legend.
I'm sure they'd love
to. You know what I'm jealous of? Looking at a box score here and looking at guys who don't play. Etuan Moore and Langston Galloway. I'd really like either of those guys on the Bucks bench. That would make a big, big difference. Talk about two very capable combo guards. You know, could work out a deal? Can they land this one?
Ty, didn't we talk early in the season about Langston Galloway as a potential trade target?
Yeah. He's fine.
Now he's riding the bench as they're beaten down.
The most pirate name in the NBA. I don't know why, but every time I see the name, I just think
Langston Galloway. It's the way ending on the last name.
I don't know. Just always something
it's
I've
not
thought.
The wildest thing you've come out with on this episode, so I'm not going to fight
really
it.
Really isn't.
Nope. I'm well aware.
Ty, do you have something to wrap us up with here?
Don't tempt him.
I was
going to
say, could go a lot of different directions.
Milk as much as we can.
Any other plays that you want to talk about or get off your chest? Yeah.
I'd like them to cut more. That's not really right. A play. I don't think I have any specific plays.
No, you don't want to just get so fired up about some double drag actions or anything?
No, he's actually not going to get fired up. He is exhausted by this. People can't see it. But yeah. I actually haven't seen Titus drained on a podcast this postseason. And
this is actually, this is a relative, we're wrapping up right before midnight here. It's not the time. It's I slept well. It was the Bucks basketball that did it.
You exerted a lot of energy in the last, you know, welcome hour of this podcast. Yeah. So
yeah.
Welcome to the experience, Ty. I'm surprised you haven't been here already, but welcome. If we're talking about Ty's energy levels here, we should probably end this. say thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep Podcast Network here on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. If you did enjoy the show, make sure you leave a 5-star review so we can read them out on the pod here.
I'm just going to interrupt you briefly. Win in 6 mailbag, I think, recording tomorrow. Continue, Ooh. Jordan. Or continue, Rohan. Oh, Jordan and I will be doing that. You can send us questions. The call will go out in the morning.
Another thing I'm upset about.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Rohan. I should
have have a new Apple review to read. So like Rohan said, folks, go leave the reviews. Talk about anything. Hit or miss, Ty.
Maybe now not also, Ty's game 2 performance.
Now hit or miss. That's... I'm mad at Chris because he reminds me of me at the end of the day. But but yeah, leave some more Apple reviews, folks. We thrive on those.
Yeah. I mean, like, shout out to my old coworker Danica for saying, like, yeah, Bucks in 5. Like, that's the sort of reviews we're getting.
Wait, did we get a new one that I missed?
No. This was a text. I love the pods, but like Bucks. I mean, Suns in 5, I should say. It was not Bucks in 5. It was Suns in 5.
Oh, well, that's less fun. Yeah.
Yeah, make sure you leave a 5-star review so we can read those out on the pod. And it also makes us feel better. Help us out here. Again, Adam, great shout out. Win in 6 mailbag coming soon. Look for the tweet asking for questions so you guys can get involved with that with Adam and Jordan. Otherwise, we here as a Eurostep Win in 6 collab will be back with you after game 3. I almost said game 5 for some reason. Game 3 of this finals on Sunday.
Tips off an hour earlier.
Yes, I know. Very exciting. 7 o'clock for the only time this series. It is tipping at 7 Central. But yeah, we will talk to you then. Stay safe, everyone. Go Bucks. It's less jovial. Go Giannis. Go Giannis. All-time performance.
Go
all-time
Bucks.
Legendary performance.
Love the play.
Best finals game from a Buck ever in terms of scoring. 21st all-time in finals scoring. Do you guys know that?
No.
Wow. Not now.
Yeah, that's a fun stat I found. But yeah, I should have brought that up earlier instead of like the final seconds. But
go Pat.
Yeah, go Pat. Just go Bucks, sure, why not? We'll talk to you after game 3. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.